move on. Let's talk to Jerry in Missouri. Jerry, you're live with Eric and Daryl. How are you doing?
Hey, Jerry.
I'm doing great, Eric. It's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, ye shucks.
Yeah, I've listened probably to 20, 25 of your episodes in the last couple weeks or so. And
oh, I'm so sorry.
Binge watching.
Really happened to get on, so I'm sorry.
I said, I'm so sorry. Hopefully it wasn't the early stuff.
I guess I'm not catching that. Some of the early stuff.
No worries.
So it's whatever they, you know, how YouTube will suggest that you have things come up. That's kind of the way it was. It come up, and I started watching it.
Well,
or listening
to
it, I should say. Well, hey, both.
What did you want to talk about?
Well, Eric, part of the conversation today, while I've been sitting here on hold, is really troubling. Of course, I'm a believer. I believe in the God of the Bible, the common United States kind of Bible. I believe you haven't heard the full story of the Bible. You haven't fully understood. Like, one of the things your guest today, and I don't think I've seen him on one of yours yet, but one of the things he brought up today was hell. That's a very traumatic thing. And guess what? You need to go back and relook at it. It's not true. What does the most famous verse in the world say? John 3:16 gives us two choices.
Well, hold on a second.
Eternal life, or are you going to look it up?
No, I know John. I know John 3:16.
Say, I'm about to feel kind of honored there because very few people you opened the book for.
No, I for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I was.
Right? What's perish mean?
Dude.
It doesn't say shall not burn forever and ever in hell.
Jerry.
It says shall not perish.
Jerry, aren't you cherry picking though?
Oh no, that's just
so what about the wailing and gnashing of teeth? Because I'm pretty sure that was Jesus.
And gnashing of teeth. Okay, so just because there's not an eternal burning hell doesn't mean there's not a fire that's going to consume at the end of the age. Okay, this fire burns you up totally.
So there
is still a hell, but it's hotter than normal. What people's taught, you know, their hell just tortures them.
Well,
okay, the hell of the Bible is. It'll annihilate you. Burns you up. It leaves you neither root or branch, is what it talked about in Malachi.
Here's my question for you, Jerry. How do you know that?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you have to go back to the Bible.
Why?
We know that because of Hebrews 11:6 is of faith, right?
No.
That's not good enough. Just because you have faith, I've heard enough of your shows.
Yeah.
I know where this is going to go real quick.
Sure. So why should I open the book?
Thank you for asking. The reason for opening the book, you know how, because like I said, it boils back down to faith no matter what. But here's the closest, I can give you a closest example you're going to get.
Okay.
Part of me wants to believe that you really still kind of, if you could get enough evidence, you might would look at it.
Well,
part of me is like on the fence whether or not you're just trying to destroy Christians, you know?
Oh, so, gosh, no, I don't want to feed that persecution complex, no. But Jerry, before you do... I want to make sure that we're using the same words, that we're not talking past each other. You said it all boils down to faith. What is faith?
Well, you know, the typical Bible definition, I believe that one in Hebrews 11.
Okay. Yeah. So are you going to go with the evidence of things not
seen?
Sure.
Right?
Exactly.
So what does that mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't mean that sarcastically, right? There's a term that Daniel Dennett came up with, deepity.
Yeah,
and
right.
it's something that sounds very, very profound until you actually want to use it, and it kind of falls apart. And when it comes to that definition of faith in particular, it falls apart. It doesn't really have very much linguistic use. It doesn't have very much to offer as far as giving us definitions for things. And so far, I haven't seen a compelling argument that justifies that definition. And so... Let's make sure that when we're talking about faith, right, Jerry, is faith a good thing to have?
I find it to be in my life, yes.
Okay. Is that a good thing to have in general? Kind of a Kantian, you know, prime kind of, is that something that everybody should have? Should everyone have faith?
Of course, this is a biased opinion, but yes.
Okay, so it sounds really important that we have a very clear definition of what faith is, right?
Makes sense.
Sure. So, I mean, one of the things that we could do is we could point out the abundance of other religions that are run faith contrary. Based. Yeah, that have that same kind of reasoning or that same right. kind of answer. And kind of before we dive into that, because that is where I want to go. I don't want you to think I'm going to spring a trap on you here. Is the first thing I want to do is I want to make sure that we're talking about faith in a way that we can, you know, have a good dialogue about it. And then after that, how is faith useful to you, and how do you separate it from other religions that use that same word?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Of course, I know where you believe about. I may be moving back on too soon. You may have somewhere else you're wanting to say there.
No. Go right ahead, man. Okay. We're doing well. Okay. So again. And I want to make sure that I'm not, you know, gish galloping all over you. What I'm boiling this down to right now: what is faith? Why should we have it? And how do we get there? So first off, what is faith?
I can tell you from my experience how I got there, because until I was 40, I didn't have nothing to do with the Bible.
It actually doesn't matter.
Then I decided to try to read it.
Well, it doesn't matter to me how you got there, and I mean that in a very empathetic way. Because when I give you a definition of any other word, I don't need to show you how I got there. I just give you the definition mm-hmm. of the word. And so I have a competing definition for faith, and that is belief without evidence. I find that to be a very useful definition. Would you agree that faith is belief without evidence for the purposes of this conversation?
Sure. Yes, I'll go there with that.
Okay. So
I wanted to point out to you that there's a few scriptures that almost violate that rule. It's like he tells you that, hey, you can only, you know, succeed in this as if you have faith. But then there's a few scriptures that like almost borderline pushes that faith thing. And it, to me, in my study of it, it's like, this is evidence. This is no longer faith almost anymore. It's like, God, what are you doing here? You're giving us so much. Is this faith anymore, or is this hard fact?
Well,
what I was going to try to bring up to you.
I'm definitely happy to talk about it. I just want to make sure that we're going into it in a way that we're not going to talk over each other, or talk past each other. You seem like a really, really nice guy, Jerry. I don't think you're going to talk over me, but talking past each other would be the problem here. So, believing something without evidence, I could see that being rather problematic, couldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking to me 10 years ago, yeah.
Well, so I'll give you an example, right? Yesterday, I did you ever follow the flat earther type stuff? There was a guy.
Yeah, I looked at that for a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, there was a dude who was convinced and, you know, that the earth is flat. He built himself a steam-powered rocket so that he could shoot 5,000 feet up into the air and get a lay of the land, you know, and try to see if he could view the curvature of the earth. He did that about a year ago, and he repeated that stunt yesterday. He died yesterday.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too smart.
Well, you know, it definitely, it's sad because we operate with the best tools that we have available. And we try and make sure that we're very discriminating in those tools because we want to apply the best that we can to it. And so you're saying it boils down to faith. So I don't think we need to open the book at all, because I think that if it all boils down to faith, then I think the important thing to do is show me why faith is useful. Because right now, believing something without evidence gets you killed in the desert like that gentleman yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, remember how I just told you that it's like there's verses in there that almost violate its own rules? To me, it's no longer faith. And if you had the patience to listen to them, you might would think it was no longer faith either. And I know that sounds crazy, using the Bible to prove the Bible, but this is a different way. I know you wrote it off a while ago when I said something about, you know, it's very traumatic about hell. Somebody that gets taught that they're going to burn through the ceaseless ages of eternity, that's traumatic, and it's not true. I know you said that's cherry picking, but no, that's huge. You're putting trauma in people versus the truth of somebody not going to burn through the ceaseless ages of eternity. That's just one example. Well, people have
Jerry,
so many excuses.
Jerry, can I ask a question of clarification here? How is your use of faith different than the use of faith of Muslims who have just as much faith, or Jehovah's Witnesses who seem to me have a hell of a lot of faith, probably as much as you've got.
They do.
Yeah, so.
And I don't understand how some of them have the faith they have. These regular Christians that call in, 90% of them, how do they have so much faith not knowing the things that they should know about the Bible? And that's where I pull back down to. The Holy Bible, whatever, is the only one that has prophecy.
So
okay, I know how you feel about prophecy.
A billion other people, so far right now, okay, what I'm hearing is a billion people have a different faith than you do, and they're just as faithful, but you seem to have some secret. And I think that's kind of what Eric's getting at. You seem to have some secret that nobody else seems to be able to understand.
Oh, no, and not just me, okay?
Okay, very few people.
I'm
what
not
percentage?
Crazy out on the edge. There's 20 million people at least worldwide that believe like me.
Okay, well, let's give it 20 million people that's got the secret.
That's a small number.
Yeah, it's very small compared to 7 billion people on the planet now. So.
Right. Yep.
What help us understand that secret? Because I haven't figured out how your secret's different than the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Muslims or the Hindus or the Buddhists.
Witnesses. Well, like I said, prophecy. I know you won't open the book, but in Daniel, I know y'all have studied this somewhat, but
I've read it.
Don't understand hell.
Well, I've read it cover to cover.
A person can read it and not understand it.
I
you remember Daniel,
Jerry,
chapter 7.
Hold on a second.
Tells what the first country would be.
Jerry,
the first beast.
Jerry, well, hold on a second, man. Hold on.
Okay.
So we're going back just a little bit, right? About you said something about the Bible that got me. You were talking about prophecy. Do you think that there are any other religions that have prophecy in their holy books? Or do you think that yours is the only one?
Ours is the only one.
Yeah, that is not
true.
You
examine it. The vagueness of it. Oh, they claim to have it. But if you actually study them,
they're all claims. They're all claims. But let's continue. You also recognize, do you know that Jehovah's Witnesses read a version of the King James Bible?
Correct.
Okay, so...
Yeah, they have their own version, actually.
Yeah, they call it the Silver Sword. But assuming, that it is mostly intact, those same prophecies would be in their version of the Bible as well. So I don't know how that justifies your version of religion over theirs if your justification is something that they have as well.
You won't unless you're willing to listen.
Well, even if it was, though, because I don't want to be dishonest here. Even if it was, let's say I granted to you that the Bible is the only book that ever had prophecies in it, right?
Okay.
How do you go about verifying a prophecy?
Searching it and looking with the history books to confirm it.
Okay.
The Bible says that Babylon was the first thing. That's the first thing I did. I read this dream. It said Nebuchadnezzar. I'm like, well, was this really a king? Because I went into the skeptical. So I had to figure out, was this Nebuchadnezzar really a king? I found out, yeah, he really lived 605 BC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
then the next thing is what happened with the Medes and Persians.
Well, so the thing is, I'm not arguing with you about whether or not Nebuchadnezzar lived. I'm wondering whether or not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got tossed into the oven. Right, I'm not arguing a lot of the
changing the subject a little.
No. Because the thing
it's
is,
all
is
the same story.
Yeah, you're bringing up things that I don't like. I'm talking about the magic claims, right? Whether or not an itinerant rabbi named Yeshua lived 2,000 years ago doesn't matter to me as much as the claims that somebody walked on water, was raised from the dead, spit in someone's eye, and cured their blindness, that they cured leprosy, and that there are events where, donkeys can talk and where demons are cast into animals. I mean, there are so many supernatural claims that those are the ones that I'm pointing at. So let me give you an example. I've got the Book of Eric, right? Now, if you've seen the show, I'm sure you've seen me pull out the Book of Eric.
Oh,
before,
yeah.
Book right?
of Eric.
And so one of my examples is that I say, in my book, it says 2 + 2 = 4. And I can fly like Superman. Well, I can prove to you 2 + 2 = 4. So does that necessarily mean that the other claim is true?
Like I said, if you're not willing to listen, then I there's nothing that I or God can do for you.
Well, I am.
You're not willing to rehear those prophets. I know you read it, but just because you had one interpretation of it doesn't mean you've heard the correct one. Just like people thinking God burns people through eternity.
Well, so
God is love, but yet he's going to burn you through the ceaseless ages of eternity. Does that even make sense? You know, within the first two pages of the Bible, it tells you how he made the world and that he rested the seventh day, which is Saturday. How many people in the world listen to that? That alone, just within two pages, people are going to have no excuse. They should go find a church that meets on Saturday. How are they going to get past that? That clears up 99% of the confusion in religion if you just do what you read.
Jerry.
Then there's 610 commandments you're not following in the Old Testament, because Jesus said, I come to fulfill the law and I don't change a jot or a tittle of the law. And you're not following those 610. Am I correct?
Now you've got to realize which of the 610 that pointed to him coming. Okay, so because...
So you're going
to
move that? Going to move the goalpost again?
There's no need to sacrifice a lamb anymore.
Jerry, every time we give you some evidence of a different viewpoint, you move the goalposts. It's rather difficult. I am from Kansas City, and we won the Super Bowl this year, thankfully. But nobody moved the goalposts. We all knew what the goalposts were. We knew where the goalpost was, how far it was, how much effort it's going to take to get there.
Yeah.
And what I find about this kind of discussion is you never know where the goalpost is. Because no matter what you say, you can find a different goalpost to say, oh, but that's the goalpost, not this one.
I tried to start off in one place, but you all don't want to hear that. You don't want to open the book to be able to read the verses and compare it to history books and find out that it actually happened.
That's
as simple as you can get it. How good is the book if you can't open it up and find out what's happening in the world?
Jerry.
I can throw the Bible away.
I have. Jerry. I'm actually trying to go past that, right? Because what I'm doing in this argument right now is I'm not arguing the individual verses. I'm saying, okay, I'm going to grant you whatever it is that you're going to bring up out of the Bible, right? Whatever it is, we can talk about it. Whatever you want to bring up. The thing is, what tools are we applying to it? And how can we tell that it is true? And so when I brought up the book of Eric, 2 + 2 = 4, and I can fly like Superman, the reason I bring that up is because a lot of people who want to talk about prophecy will say, hey, here's a thing that points to something that is real. That's how we know that it's true, right? And I can, and the example that, you know, long before this book, you know, people said, you know, Spider-Man has New York in it, and therefore the existence of New York points towards the existence of Spider-Man. And well, that doesn't necessarily follow.
Use the book to prove that, right? I get that. That makes logical sense, Eric. You're speaking common sense. That makes sense.
It's not common sense, actually. I wish it was, but it's not.
It should be.
I agree with you. So Jerry, where I'm going here is I want to talk about the supernatural claims, because whether or not somebody lived 2,000 years ago, I don't care. I care whether or not, you know, this hell is real and this heaven is real.
Why can't I tell you what's different?
Well, because I want to give
you... Your example, just because your New York is there doesn't prove Spider-Man.
Right, but because I want to give you the tools that will work to convince
Babylon.
Me. Jerry, I want to give you...
The Bible says Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then you look into actual history books and it happened that way? That knocked my socks off when I learned that. I was like, wow, why aren't these Christians teaching this? They don't understand it because they misunderstand. And that puts a whole different slant. It's a different Jesus is what they believe in.
I don't.
The Jesus I believe in and the Jesus they do are two different things. Mine doesn't burn you through the seasonal stages of eternity.
One of the things that I take a lot of pride in this show is that I meet people where they're at. I'm not going to hold you to a prior version of Jesus that I have in my head. I'm going to let you present your version so that we can talk about it and talk to each other and not past each other. So whether or not the Jesus that you believe in or the version or the way and interpretation of reading that you have, whether or not that conforms to any other way that's been brought up to me in the past, I don't care. I just want you to bring forward your evidence so we can let it stand or fall on its own merits. And so
good method. I like that.
And I also want to give you the tools and I want you to have clear guidelines. I want those goalposts to be set well.
Right.
So we can look at it and go, hey, here's the tools that I'm using, Jerry. And I want to determine whether or not I'm using good tools, and how can we determine whether or not your claim is true? Because that's what we're trying to work on, right? So I gave you these examples because you were giving me an example out of the Bible that said Nebuchadnezzar was a real king. Okay, I don't care whether or not Nebuchadnezzar was a king. I care about whether or not three brothers were thrown into a fire and walked out unscathed.
Well, there's no way to prove that, but the story about Nebuchadnezzar's dream, there is a way to prove it. Do you remember his dream?
So I...
Chapter 2, do you remember his dream?
Jerry, again...
It tells the future. It's a timeline hidden in the Bible.
Jerry...
It tells the countries that would come afterward. That's nice of God to tell us what countries is going to come after before it actually happens.
Jerry,
what more can he do?
You could do a lot of things. Stop giving kids cancer would be one of them. But let's go back to the Bible.
Nothing to him. He has the power to resurrect. He has the power to heal. That's merely a bruised knee to him.
Yeah. Well, why don't you go to a children's oncology ward and tell that to the kids or their families?
Yeah, I know short term how that looks. I know how it sounds.
Yeah. So let's go back to where we have the goalposts set. Are you saying that the miracle claim in that story is unprovable?
How could you prove it?
I agree. Are there any miracle claims in the Bible that can be true? Are there any miracle claims in the Bible that could be proven?
See, that's why I'm trying to... Remember how I told you at the very beginning of this? It's almost the story that was almost violates his rules. The closest you're going to come, these miracle ones about the Jonah and the swallowing the man and all that stuff, you're not going to...
If you just use those,
you're never going to get there.
So...
Because that's not something that's provable.
Well,
but this is the closest. I'm telling you, no matter who falls in, they're not going to get you any closer than this.
Okay, so what? Let me grant to you that that let's say the historical claims that are entirely unremarkable are true. Let's just grant you that. So what?
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay, cool. Do we get any closer to understanding whether or not that God is real, that miracles can happen, that there's a soul, that you can go to hell, that you could go to heaven, that you should follow any of those commandments, or why you should open the dang book in the first place?
Okay, so
has any of that happened if I granted you all of the stuff I just granted you?
That gives you the first step to looking at something else. That's like Revelation chapter 17, where it talks about this whore, this woman that's in the world. You should be able to find that in the world we live in. If it's not in the world, if you can't find this whore, you have to do studying. Whore, a woman in Bible prophecy is a church.
Do you know how many women...
A bad church in our world. We should be able to find this, and it describes it. If you go through Revelation 17, it describes this woman, tells you what she's wearing, tells you how she'll rule over kings. There's no other choice than who it can be. Very clear. So
really?
When I see that coupled with the Old Testament stories, it's like, oh, man, I can Google this stuff and show you a slideshow and knock your socks off.
People.
The proof that's in the Bible. It's just you're not willing to hear it.
I am. I'm also just have different standards, and the standards that I have, I think you should have, Jerry. And those standards are ones that are important. So you're talking, you know, we bumped the goalposts a little bit again. You're bringing up the Whore of Babylon, and whether or not the Whore of Babylon exists, well, I know that that accusation has been tossed around since before the Protestant Reformation. So whether or not there's a Whore of Babylon, I know that people have been saying that ever since that's been written down. So no, I don't think it's specific enough, and I think it falls into the same thing that you wrote off Nostradamus or any of those other claims on, is that it is sufficiently ambiguous.
Right.
You haven't studied with the right group of people.
I think that if your God really cared...
Why do you think he's having me call you now? What do you think we're on the phone for? This is a chance to reach out to you, Eric.
He would also...
Take it lightly.
If he cared, he would help communicate in a hell of a lot better way. Then he has to you and the 20 million people that you seem to think agree 100% with you. I want the 7 billion people to be able to understand it. Nobody seems to be able to do it except you.
The devil's, if there's a God, there's a devil. And he's much better at making people not understand.
I know. It always amazes me how powerful your devil or your Satan is. He's more powerful than any Yahweh ever was.
Hold on. You're saying there are more magical people? How do you know the devil exists?
Well, I'm saying if you grant me that there's a God.
No, why would I do that? No. That's silly.
There's a devil.
Okay, cool. Show me the existence of a devil.
Well, to me, with learning what I know, I look around, you see it all through the world.
No, you don't, because if you could do that, you could point to it and say, Eric, that's the devil.
Talking about, that's the devil.
Show me.
People misunderstanding God and thinking that he burns you through ceaseless ages of eternity.
You're talking about thought crimes. Jerry, this is the exact type of indoctrination and trauma that causes people to need help in the future. You're talking about thought crimes that you have absolutely zero evidence of. Zero. Why? Why do this to yourself? You seem like a great guy, Jerry. Why are you doing this? Why would you hold up something with zero evidence? Why would you point to bad things in the world and say, that's the evidence of a devil? Show me the devil.
Because I've studied Daniel.
Introduce me. Get him on the phone. No, you dove into your book that says that it's true. I have a book that also says that it's true.
The fellow that died this week, did as much or more research than you probably ever done on flat Earth. And he was bound and determined to prove his theories correct.
And he proved himself all the way into the desert.
All the way planted in the desert.
He should have just pulled up and watched the live feed of the space shuttle, ISS.
I agree.
What's so hard to prove about the world being round?
I agree.
I wanted the world to be flat at one time. I looked at it, too, because I thought, for a little bit, the Bible proved it was flat. But that's not true.
You know, the Bible says it's flat, so it proves it's flat, right?
It says there's the firmament and the dome of it. Regardless.
Yeah.
I understand why they're going.
Yeah. Another goalpost move, but okay. Yeah.
But I will say that, it's interesting talking about the ISS and all of that, because so far as we've been able to send astronauts, we definitely haven't seen any bearded men in the sky. So if they're invisible, if they're invisible, then they're either indistinguishable from nothing at all, or there still needs work to be done, because right now, your book has not differentiated itself from mine.
You won't open it.
I will open his. That's a good one. I like that.
You like that?
That's
How many false things have you read so far?
So far, not one false thing.
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah.
Right.
You've written the perfect book. Nobody can argue with a thing you. Unfortunately, I didn't write the perfect book because people argue with me, but they won't argue with you.
Well, it's because it's blank. But
Eric.
What's up, man?
Hey, Eric.
Yeah?
Would you be scared to throw a verse out and let me throw a picture to you where you can see it in the world? Throw a verse out, throw a picture out, you can see it in the world? That sounds like evidence to me. And then you could judge if it's very weighty evidence or if it's just, like most of you hear on here.
Sure. Mail at TomKeithen.com. Shoot it off to me. I'll take a look and we'll correspond. Sound like a plan?
Sounds great.
All righty, man. We've been on this call for a while. I want to make sure we give other people enough time. But this has been good. I like this.
Yeah.
Thank you for
calling.
Thanks
for calling. Take care, Jerry.
Thanks for talking with me.
Yep. Thank you. Take care, man.
Bye.
What do you think?
Well, I think we just went around in 17 circles, but okay.
Yes, but it takes a little bit of zooming out to see the circles.
Yeah, right.
And I'm hoping that this can be an exercise that somebody can look at and go,
right.
You know what, I'm not, experiencing the backfire effect, and I'm not, holding my ground so that I have to, back something up without evidence. Just looking at it and going, that's actually doing this. That's doing a whole lot of this, and we should expect better from evidence of the things around us.